if you're lost, you're really going to be regretful. And so let's not forget what we're here to do. Let's not forget that this is just the introduction for eternity. This is just the prelude. It's very brief. It's very short, and yet so very consequential. And so we need to be busy. Let's read Proverbs chapter 7, if you'd turn to that tonight. Proverbs chapter 7, we're going to read all 27 verses, and it's a sobering story, but if we will read it, I think, with the right heart attitude, it can be a very positive influence in our life. And we're going to take multiple weeks, I don't know how many exactly, but a few weeks to work our way through this chapter, and maybe you'll be surprised at the focus that we take, but I do trust it will be helpful. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 1, it says, "My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves, for the goodman is not at home. He is gone a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him, and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till the dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways, go not astray in her paths. For she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death." Proverbs 7 is a cautionary tale. Maybe you've heard that phrase before, that term, a cautionary tale. It's a story that gives a warning. It's a sobering account, as we just read, of a young man who was snared and destroyed. And it's included for us in Scripture so that we may avoid the same outcome. Yet, this can be helpful to you even if you're not a young man. You might say, well, I'm an old man. It can still help you. It can help you if you're a woman, or if you are dealing with an entirely different scenario in life. No matter what the scenario is, it can help you if you're teachable. The word teachable means that may be taught, apt to learn. Also, readily receiving instruction. And then I found there's a word in this definition that I found interesting and unexpected. The word docile. Docile. The word docile used to mean, perhaps, and it's used nowadays, something different. I should say we use it differently now than it used to be used. And it used to mean something different than we think of now. The word docile back then meant teachable, easily instructed, ready to learn, tractable, easily managed. And that's how I think of it, easily managed. They're docile, they're calm, they're not not energetic. They're slow, you know, just tractable, as it says here, easily managed. Well, why are they easily managed? Because they're not going their own way. They're not deaf to instruction. They are listening. They're obeying. They're following. They're docile. They're teachable. And you and I have learning opportunities all around us every day if we are willing to learn. Just as a child who is not docile is hard, it's as if they've got their, you know, earplugs in and they're not listening. It's hard to get through to them sometimes. We can be that way too in our daily lives, or we can be teachable. God will teach us every day if we are willing to be taught. And we will benefit from cautionary tales if we are teachable. And so I want to ask you tonight, are you teachable? And we, earlier this year, we looked at being teachable, and I trust that the Lord has a similar purpose in coming back to this topic. It's good to be reminded of the need to be teachable. It's good to examine ourselves. Am I teachable? Or do I just let the instruction roll off my back, like water off a duck's back, so to speak? Teachability is one of the greatest abilities a person may have. You may have the greatest intellect, but it will be wasted if you're not teachable. You may have a tireless work ethic, but it will be wasted if you're not teachable. You may be bold in witnessing, or generous in giving, or conscientious in living, but it won't amount to much if you're not teachable. You may have a winning personality and a gift to befriend others, but it won't accomplish much for God if you're not teachable. You may have all the potential in the world, but if you aren't teachable, it will remain potential. And I think about this young man who is described in chapter 7. We don't know much about him. We don't know what kind of potential he had. But we do see that whatever potential he did have was wasted. And we're not told if he was teachable, but you and I will have the same kind of fate if we are not teachable. We will waste the potential that we have. Are you teachable? Perhaps you believe you are. Are you willing to be shown if you aren't? What if you're not teachable, but you think you are? Are you willing to be taught that? Are you willing to receive that and learn from it? Are you teachable? Are you willing for God to answer that question for you tonight? Because he can, if you're willing to hear it. Let's pray, and then we'll look at teachability from the first few verses of this chapter. Lord, would you speak to our hearts tonight? Help us to examine our own hearts honestly, not with a bias and a predisposition to excuse ourselves, but with a genuine desire to hear from you and a genuine desire to know the truth, even if it's uncomfortable. Help us not to be dull of hearing or cold-hearted or numb to your instruction. I pray that you would help it to hit home with us, and I pray that we would respond and come to you, and you can change our lives if we do. In Jesus' name, amen. The first, I want to give you an acrostic tonight. T-E-A-C-H, teach, the first part of teachable, and 5 points, one for each letter, and I want to take them from the five verses that begin this chapter. The first question I want to ask you: do you take instruction? The T in teach. Do you take instruction, or do you reject it? Chapter 7, verse 1, Solomon says, "My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee." And in this one verse, there is a lot that is over Rehoboam or another son that Solomon was talking to. This son is subject to or under several things. And notice what Solomon says: "My son, keep my words. My son, keep my words, lay up my commandments with thee. And if you resent hearing those kinds of things used toward you, where terms and words that subject you and remind you that you are under someone, remind you that you still have growing to do, remind you that you still are not where you ought to be. If you resent hearing that and you just want to push back against that, you don't like to be under authority, you don't like to be reminded of these things, you don't like to be humbled, it may be that you do not take instruction. Some people don't like instruction simply because they weren't the ones to think of it. This thing that I need to do, I would have been happy, and they would not admit this, but really the truth is they would have been happy doing it if they'd thought of it. But because someone else instructed them, they kind of push back a little bit. Do you wait a while for people to forget that it was someone else's idea? Or do you modify the idea a little bit and then implement it? Hey, I just had a good idea. Well, that was what I said 5 minutes ago. No, it's a little bit different. My idea is better. And you don't take instruction very well. Some people don't like that instruction because a certain person instructed them. Well, I know about their problems. They aren't qualified to teach me. I'm not going to listen to anything they have to say. You can write somebody off pretty easily and forget that God can teach us using anyone. If we wrote people off because they weren't qualified, we would never learn from our children. We would never learn from lost people. And really, nobody would ever learn from us. But God can teach us using anyone. Well, they were offensive in how they presented it. It doesn't mean that you can't learn, that I can't be taught. They discredit their message by doing such and such. And the question we ought to ask is it biblical instruction from God or not? Who cares who said it if it's loving instruction for you from your Heavenly Father? God can use anyone to teach you, and if he is using that person, it doesn't really matter the more peripheral things. God is teaching you, God is teaching me, and truth is truth, and we ought to accept it. Do you take instruction? Some people don't like to take instruction because they prefer not to change their plans. Well, I've already made the plan, and maybe next time I'll do that. Well, would you rather do it right or do it twice or three times? And we can have all kinds of reasons for not taking instruction. Our pride doesn't like to subject our thoughts to another's thoughts. What makes them think they know what I need? And I'll admit, it's easy to be this way. I can have a plan, I can have a problem, and I'm working on this problem, how to figure it out, and I think I came up with a good plan, and I'm setting all the details, working through everything, and this is what I'm going to do. All right, here we go, and I'm ready to jump, and someone says, well, did you think about this? No. But I don't want to. I already decided I'm going to do this. This is a good plan. Don't change my mind now. Don't confuse me with the facts. We don't like to take instruction. And some people cannot take instruction. Have you ever talked to someone who you can say it in pride, well, I know better than them, let me show them how much I know. You can also say it in humility, but you're trying to help them. You're trying to show them there is another side to this, and they just don't want to listen. You give them, maybe you've even been down that road that they're on, and you say, yeah, but did you know it ends? Oh, yeah, you know, it'll be fine, and they just kind of blow you off. They always have a reason why it's not applicable to them, or why they have a better idea. No matter what you say to them, it doesn't seem to have any impact. Some people do not take instruction. Do you get defensive when you're instructed? Biblical instruction in its manner and content is always a blessing. It's not an attack, it's not condemnation. You know, another person, they might give you biblical instruction the wrong way. But again, if it's biblical, if it's from the Lord, then you can have, and I can have the grace to look past that person's maybe clumsy manner. Maybe they were being somewhat carnal, but I know what they said is what I needed. And I praise the Lord for that, and so I'm going to accept that. I'm going to take that instruction. I don't have to get defensive. Because if it's from God, it's a blessing. It's not an attack. It's not condemning. It's not condemnation. Maybe they were condemning me and how they said it, but I know God's not. He's giving me what I need. Are you dismissive? And by that, somebody gives you, tries to give you some instruction, and you're quick to say, nah, that's not necessary. I don't need to hear that. I already know better. Nah, I'm not even going to consider that. I'm not offended. I'm not angry with you. I'm just not going to give it the time of day. I'm not even going to think about that. Moving on to the next thing. Are you dismissive? Biblical instruction is always needed. You and I will never be in a place where we don't need it anymore, this side of heaven. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Are you impatient? And that's related to being dismissive a lot of times. Are you impatient? Biblical instruction is helpful, not a hassle. Are you bored with it? I think people can be this way. We can be this way in church. I've heard this 100 times before. Oh, I know this chapter. Oh, I was just studying this, and I heard somebody else preach this passage a whole lot better. I am bored. I'm going to settle in. I'm just going to ride this one out, wait till it's over. Don't ever think that you don't need it. Biblical instruction is always important. We see a good example of the kind of teachable heart that we need in Matthew 26. And I'll just read it for you. Matthew 26, verse 20 to 22, the Lord is with his 12 disciples, and it says, now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12, and as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? That's the kind of tender heart. We read in the Gospels, not long after, in that evening, Peter was saying, I'll die for you, Lord. But he was one of the ones saying, Lord, is it me? Am I going to betray you? He took that instruction, that statement the Lord made, to heart. It could be me. He wasn't bored with it. He wasn't dismissive. He wasn't defensive. He cared. He said, is it me? I want to know. And this kind of attitude is one of taking instruction. When the Bible is being taught and preached, when biblical principles are being taught, we always ought to be saying to the Lord, Lord, is it I? Is it I? Secondly, the E in teach. Let's go back to Proverbs 7. Solomon was speaking to his son in verse 1. He says, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with me. And if his son was going to be teachable, he was going to acknowledge his father's authority. He was going to keep his father's words, to lay up his father's commandments with him. He was going to protect them. He was going to keep them nearby. He was going to take instruction. Verse 2 says, keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Do you embrace instruction, or do you ignore it? You might be able to take it. You might be able to listen without protesting. You might be able to say, okay, thank you for your input. I appreciate it. That's something to think of. I'll have to think about that. You might be able to take it, but do you embrace it? He says, keep my commandments and live. Keep them, protect them, set a watch over them. Don't let them be stolen away. Don't let them out of your sight. And my law as the apple of thine eye. The apple of your eye, used, and it's kind of taken a more generic and figurative meaning. It's more of something that's really special to me. But specifically, the apple of thine eye speaks of the pupil in your eye, the center of your eye. You don't like anyone touching that. You protect that. You keep others' hands off. Something you may not even like touching your own apple of your eye, much less someone else touching it. This keeping is protection, is protecting. It's intentional and careful and zealous. This keeping is prudent. You react when the apple of thine eye is threatened. If someone tries to poke you in the eye, literally, there is involuntary and swift reaction, isn't there? You might push them away. You might take vengeance. You keep it. You protect it. Do you embrace instruction? I've received this instruction. It's for me. I'm not going to let the devil come and take it. I'm not going to let someone talk me out of it. I'm not going to forget it. I'm not going to ignore it. I'm going to embrace it. A few days ago, my daughter was playing with me, and she poked me in the eye. It was not intentional, and I didn't see it coming. I didn't think she would get that close, and so I didn't protect myself. It was so fast, and she got me. I mean, her fingernail right on my eye, and thankfully I didn't get angry with her, but she knew that she'd hurt me, and it hurt for a while. I mean, I walked around like this for a few minutes, and then after I was able to put my hand down and go on with the evening, it still hurt for a while. I wondered if there'd be a mark or something. I didn't know, but it was painful. And a failure to protect the apple of your eye brings terrible regret. You're doing something that should include safety glasses, and you don't wear them, and you pay the price. You regret it. Do you embrace instruction? We can listen without receiving it. We're too polite to be defensive, but we're not at all interested. You sit and listen to the preacher, and your eyes watch him, but you're not listening. Your mind's somewhere else. We can take a consumerist approach to instruction, as though we're up at a buffet. Oh, that looks nice. I'll have to remember that. I might come back and get some of that later. Oh, that looks good, but you know what? Not now. I'm kind of not in the mood for that. We're not rejecting it per se, but we're not really embracing it. We can like our way too much. I'm glad it works for them, but I just need something a little bit different. We're not embracing, it's not for me, it's just for me to decide if I'm interested in it. But when the Lord speaks to us, we don't get to decide how well it fits with our life. We don't get to decide how much we like it or not. If God is speaking to us and instructing us, we are to take it and embrace it. Preachers have been criticized probably for centuries or longer. They've been criticized at times by listeners who say, well, I'm just not being fed. Bringing spiritual food in the form of a sermon is, and I'll just speak for me, I'm sure it's this way for good men, good pastors, for conscientious preachers. Bringing spiritual food is a constant, urgent burden of mine whenever I am preparing to preach. But again, if we can learn spiritual truth from people like children and lost people and babes in Christ, we can learn spiritual truth from anyone and anything. And if you are prepared to take and embrace instruction, God can use anyone to feed you. And I've seen that personally. I walk into the service to sit down and listen with an attitude of, we'll see what happens. Maybe I'm just not thinking about it. I didn't come prepared. I'm not skeptical. I'm just, my mind's somewhere else. Maybe I wish I were doing something else, and I walk in and I'm half there, my mind's halfway somewhere else, and I don't get much from it. And I say, boy, that was not a very good sermon. I could say that. And then I can walk into a service and sit down and I say, oh boy, the Word of God is being opened, and I don't know what He's going to say, but I know God wants to speak to me. I've got the Word of God here on my lap. I'm going to listen, and I know God can speak. And it almost doesn't matter what He has to say. God speaks to me. And God will do that for you. If the Word of God is being preached, a failure to be fed, I believe this is true. A failure to be fed is the fault of the listener more than it is the fault of the speaker. And that doesn't get me off the hook because I'm the speaker in this situation. It just means we need to be teachable. Do you receive instruction from parents or pastor or teacher or some other counselor or authority as being from God himself. Not because that person is God, but because the truth from God's word is from God. Do you see God's instruction as the path of life? I need that. I want to walk the path of life. Turn over to Psalm 16. I want to walk the path of life. I need to walk it. And I know God will help me and lead me in walking it if I am teachable. And so, okay, Lord, I'm listening. I'm paying attention. You teach me however you see fit. I want to follow. I want to learn. Psalm 16, verse 11. David says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Easy question for you. I'd like some response. Do you believe that God wants to show you the path of life? Amen. Of course he does. Are you ready to walk that path when he shows you? If we're not teachable, we won't be ready. If you believe that God wants to lead you on that path and you listen and receive instruction, you embrace it, then you'll preserve and protect that instruction. You'll guard it carefully and urgently and energetically. You'll fight to hold on to it. God taught me that, and I'm not going to let it go. God is teaching me right now. I'm not going to ignore this. This is not a small thing. This could change my life. I've got 30, 40, 50, 60, whatever age you are. I've got that many years ahead of me, and I don't want to squander that by not being teachable. I'm listening. I'm paying attention. Lord, I'm ready. Are you teachable? Do you take instruction? Do you embrace instruction? Let's go back to Proverbs 7. We'll see verse 3. Look at what Solomon counsels his son to do. Keep my words, lay up my commandments with thee. Have them available. That's what the lay up, have them handy, have them at hand and accessible. Keep my commandments and live, and my law is the apple of thine eye, protect them. Verse 3, bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Do you apply instruction? This is life-changing. This is daily and deep change that is happening in the life. Do you apply instruction or do you forget about it? Well, I don't have a proud and resisting attitude, but I want to do it. I just forget. Well, if it's really important to you, you won't forget. You don't forget the things that are really important to you. We have time to think about our favorite movie, book, hobby, whatever. We have time to think about the really high priorities, like don't forget to go to work in the morning, don't forget to have lunch. We don't forget about these things. Do you remember the instruction that God gives you? These are daily changes that are happening here. Verse 3, bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. These daily things also bring permanent life changes. These are different levels he's talking about here. For instance, you know, we can forget about the instruction that we've heard. Maybe something like those family camp messages were just revelatory. It's a revelation to us. It just opened our eyes, but then you forget all about them maybe a month later. Teen camp sermons can be life-changing until you settle back into your familiar school semester rut. Revival preaching can be energizing until you end up resuming your listless spiritual habits in the excitement of the holidays. And you know, oh yeah, that's right. I forgot all about that message and how much it changed my life for those 3 weeks. We didn't apply the instruction. He says, bind them upon thy fingers. We know that tying a string around your finger used to be a way of reminding yourself of something. We obviously use our hands every day, and when something is on your fingers, you notice it. You're using your hand already, you're looking at your hand, you feel the difference, And it's our daily reminder. No matter what we're doing, these things are reminding us if they're on our fingers. I thought about how, and I'm probably everyone's this way, but it seems like an especially irritating thing in my life when I cut my finger for whatever reason. It's a cut. It's bleeding, and now I've got to figure out a way to protect it or bleed on whatever I'm working with my hands, and it hurts, and you wash your hands and it gets worse, and you know, you use your hands to do anything, and so now I got to put a Band-Aid on it or wait till it gets better, and how long will it take if I'm using it and continually reopening the cut? And it's just, I'm always reminded of it because I'm always using my fingers trying to work around it, and it's just in the way. And if you make the instruction that God gives you that much in your daily thoughts, you're applying it. It's changing your life. It says, Solomon says, write them upon the table of thine heart. This is talking about a change in your desires, a change in your priorities. We must apply God's instruction deeply. It must change our affections, our priorities, our purposes. Heart changes, our life changes. And if you ask the Lord, Lord, this was good. I saw this in my morning devotions. I had an authority tell me this. I heard that message. You spoke to me in my heart about something. I want this to be a life change. I know I need this. And you make that a prayer request. Lord, help my life to change. I don't want to forget this. You write it down. God will change your heart. God will write it upon the table of your heart, and it'll change your life. Look at Ezekiel chapter 11. Teach. Do you take instruction? Do you embrace instruction? Do you apply instruction? Ezekiel 11, verse 19. Notice what the Lord can do for us. Ezekiel 11, 19 says, "And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and will give them an heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep mine ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God." It's a remarkable thing to me that we can go to God and we can say, "Lord, I feel cold." And I've prayed this sort of thing before. "I feel cold toward the things of the Lord, and that scares me. I don't want to be cold, but I am. I just don't care right now." Or I just feel so wrapped up in my own desires, and I just want to go my way, but I know that's wrong. And I feel carried away by my own desires and urges, and that scares me. But Lord, I don't know what to do. I can't just change this. I can't fix this. Would you change my heart? Would you give me a greater desire for you, your truth? Would you give me a love for others? Would you change my heart? Give me a heart to do your will. And he'll do that. He can take the stony heart out and put in one of flesh so that you can walk in his statutes and keep his ordinances. You don't have to just wait and see if it happens. You can make it a prayer request. You can beg God to give you the heart that you ought to have. Are you teachable? Do you apply instruction? Let's go back to Proverbs 7 and we'll see the C of teach. These are questions to ask yourself. Are you really teachable? We need to be. Proverbs 7, verse 4 says, "Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman." Do you claim instruction? And the son here, calling wisdom my sister and understanding my kinswoman. This is appropriating. This is not just, well, you know, if we personalize or personify, I should say, personify wisdom as a female. "Oh, that's a nice person. She's nice. I met her once." No, she's my sister. We are one family. We are together a lot. I love her and I'm around her. I'm claiming her. She's mine. I am going to be around her a lot. My sister, my kinswoman, this is ownership. And of course, we're talking about wisdom and understanding. This is ownership. This is responsibility. This is association. If you claim someone, there's no shame. You're not ashamed of that. Sometimes, maybe you've been in a situation where you are, where you're out in the world in a public situation, and something like a family member or your church or something that you would claim as part of something that's important to you, and other people are talking about it and ridiculing it. And if that's happening, do you kind of want to just back up and not say anything? Oh, that person, yeah, I don't know about that. You know, they're my friend, but I'm certainly not going to claim them right now. Do you claim instruction? The preacher said that the other day. The Bible says this, that's mine. That's what I need. That's what I follow. And I don't care who knows it. I am claiming this for myself. This is not an occasional interaction. This is ongoing. I need this. I am going to seek it out. I'm going to be not proud in a carnal sense, but I am eager to claim it. I am eager to say that I follow the Bible. I am glad to say that Christ is my Savior. I am happy to say that I need to be taught. I am happy to say that I need to be humbled, that my pride loves to rise up and take over my life. I need to be instructed and helped, and I've learned that, and I want to continue to learn it. I am glad to claim it. This is not a one-sided consumer relationship. There is responsibility and accountability here. Again, if you're hearing instruction and you say, well, that was nice, I'll decide what I'm going to do with it, that's a very different response than saying, that was exactly what I needed, and I'm going to make myself accountable to that. I don't ever want to let that go. I need to keep applying that, and I'm going to be reminding myself, and I need it so much, I'm going to take it over here to this person and say, would you keep me accountable? Because this is something that's really applicable to me. It's a very different response than, well, I'll see if I do it at some point. I'll keep that in mind. It includes also a willingness to tell others about what you have received. When God teaches you something, and it changes your life, and you claim it, this was for me. This is what I need. And I'm sure somebody else needs it too. Let me go tell them, you know what? I was in this mess and God spoke to me using this verse and just totally changed my perspective on things. And maybe you need to hear this. Maybe somebody else needs. Would you tell this to them? We do this with the gospel all the time. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. I needed it, and I'm so glad I have it. I'm so glad I'm saved, and now somebody else needs to know about it. I'm going to claim this for my own. I'm going to tell others about it. You can't hide it. You're not ashamed of it. You're excited, as it's been said, about the gospel. You're excited to tell another beggar where to find bread. I'm so thankful for what God's done for me. It's what I needed, and I'm still, in my flesh, I'm still the same sinner that needed salvation, and I'm sure there are others out there, so I'm claiming it for my own, and I'm going to tell others about it. Do you claim that instruction? Are you teachable? Look at Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. I think our Western culture resists all of these things to some degree. And I think up here in the upper Midwest, there are cultures, I think the Norwegian culture can be more stoic and more arm's length, a little bit more distant. We don't like to reveal our emotions or what we're thinking, and we just like to kind of nod and smile politely and go on and do following our own counsel. We don't like to take instruction. We don't like to embrace instruction and admit that we needed it. We don't like to apply instruction. We'd like to follow our own counsel and be our own person. We don't like to claim instruction. Acts 4, verse 18. Notice the claiming going on, the possessing here. Acts 4:18, it says, and they called them, the council called Peter and John, and they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. We have to talk about it. It has changed our life. That is claiming. That is possessing. And joyfully publicizing. But if you're going to do that, you have to admit that you needed it to begin with. Are you teachable? And lastly, the H in teach. Let's go back to Proverbs 7 one more time. Proverbs 7, verse 5. Solomon is counseling the proper response to this instruction that he has. And he's beginning a cautionary tale. If this simple youth, the young man void of understanding, if he, and I don't know if he had the opportunity to receive this kind of instruction, but if he had received it, if he had taken it and embraced it and applied it and claimed it, he would not have experienced this destruction. Verse 5 says, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Again, this all comes back to, this instruction comes back to the fact that God is instructing us. He wants us to learn. He wants us to grow. He wants us to understand his truth. And he uses all kinds of ways to teach us. He might use that person carried away with road rage next to you. I mean, he can use anyone if you're willing to be taught. Fifthly, are you helped by the instruction? Are you helped? Or do you still struggle? If God is giving you instruction, he's speaking to your need because he knows what you need, and this is it. This is what you need to hear right now. It's not something else. It's not something tomorrow. It's something right now, and it will help you. Are you helped? Because if you're not helped, it's not God's fault. It's not God's problem. Well, I went to the doctor and the doctor gave me the wrong prescription. That doesn't happen with God. You go to the Lord and he gives you exactly what you need. Well, this isn't what I was looking for. That's how we often respond. This isn't what I need, Lord. I need this other thing. Well, we're not teachable. He's giving us what we need. He is the instructor and we will be helped. So are you helped? Because if you're not helped by God's instruction, it can only be on our side, our problem. Does that instruction make a difference? Does it change your life? Does it save you from sin and grief? If not, you're probably not truly applying it. Why aren't you applying it? Maybe because you haven't embraced it. Maybe because you haven't taken it. Listen to the teacher of God's word. Apply what they are teaching. They are speaking from a place of being able to help you. Again, we're coming back to God's words here. My instruction in and of myself has no power to really help you. It's God's instruction that has the power to help. His word will not return void. I think about Galatians 5:16. When we talk about being helped, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Very simple instruction, and it does help if we will receive it. Look at Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5. There is great danger to rejecting God's instruction. And I grieve over people who have rejected the gospel. And we read in the Bible about people that way. And that's maybe the simplest example of God's instruction that we could point to. But so many, maybe you would point to a time in your life when you said, there was a message preached and I knew it was for me and I didn't want it. And I went out and did my own thing. And I wish wish I could go back and redo it. I wish that I hadn't spent those years out in the world and wandering around in the spiritual wilderness, so to speak. I wish I had just listened and obeyed. Don't go that way. Are you helped by the instruction? Proverbs 5, verse 7, we see this kind of regret. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house, the strange woman, lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel, lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger, and thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof. Not teachable, that's what we're describing. And have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. There are almost all 5 points here explicitly stated of being teachable, and they were lacking. And it says in verse 11, thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. What's the cost of not being teachable? It's that. And it may not look the same in everyone's life. But it will waste you if you're not teachable. If you have a desire to please God and you humble yourself before the Lord and you obey the instruction that he has sent to help you, you will be helped. It's impossible to avoid. If you are teachable and you receive and apply his instruction, it must help you. There is no other outcome. Does it help you? Psalm 119, 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It can't be anything. It can't be darkness. If you'll apply it, it will lighten your path. Look at Proverbs chapter 4 and we'll finish. Proverbs 4, verse 10. Solomon says, hear, O my son, and receive my sayings. And the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. This is what God's word will do for us. God's instruction will help us. It will change your life. Do you take instruction? Do you embrace instruction? Do you apply instruction? Do you claim instruction? Are you helped by instruction? Being teachable will preserve your life. Lord, is it I? What do you want from me right now? What should I take away from this? You know, at times I have struggled or had maybe periods of maybe some turmoil, because I hear something, maybe instruction of some kind, maybe a comment someone made, and I listen to the point of that and I say, oh, is that my problem? Oh no, I hope that's not my problem. What if that's my problem? And I can be in turmoil because, I don't know if we would say I'm too eager to be instructed. I don't know if that's the way we would put it. But being eager to say, Lord, is it I? I'm willing to say that might be me. I don't want to rule it out. And the Lord has helped me to not be too much that way, to not be thrown into turmoil so easily. He's helped me that way. But I would much rather be that way than be insensitive to instruction, to have something come crashing down around my ears before I'll listen. To have, you know, the Lord grab me and shake me and slap me upside the face before I'll take instruction. I'd rather be the other way. Do you take instruction and embrace it and apply it and claim it? Are you helped by it? Being teachable will preserve your life and make you fruitful in God's work. But only you can choose that for yourself. And if you won't, there'll be a lot of heartache and regret that will come. Let's be teachable. Let's pray.